Okay, before we dive in, I have to tell you about something that is very near and very dear to my heart, which is ZipRecruiter. Let me tell you a couple things about ZipRecruiter. First of all, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day, okay? This is numero uno, baby. First day. Let me tell you a couple other things. When you post on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 job boards with one click, a single click, 100 job boards. Powerful technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. What else can I tell you? Oh, here's the most important part. If you go to ZipRecruiter.com/Zach, that's my name, Z-A-K, you're going to get a little discount code. And you know what else? It's going to make me look very good if you go to ZipRecruiter and you use this code. So if you need ZipRecruiter, use the code. And, you know, if you don't need it, just consider putting it in the back of your mind, because you might need it one day, and the code will be there. We're in no rush. I mean, those are the good people at ZipRecruiter. We're here when you need us. You know what I mean? We're there. We're like, I don't know, we're like Tylenol. We're just in your closet. And you don't need us until you need us. And then you need us. And by the way, I don't work for ZipRecruiter. This is not an us kind of situation. But I'm a fan. I've used ZipRecruiter and I approve. This is going on way too long. Okay, here we go. Let's dive in.
The Zach Kuhn Show.
Okay, Tennille Towns on the podcast. Big fan of Tennille. First of all, her newest single, Girl Who Didn't Care, came out a couple weeks ago. And I love this song. I'm telling you, I listened to this thing probably 5 times when it came out at midnight. I was going through the New Music Friday playlist on Spotify 5 times. 5 times I listened to this thing back to back. Trust me. And she's going on tour with the Brothers Osborne. We're Not For Everyone. She's going on tour this summer. She'll be touring the country like for months. This is a huge tour. And you know, the last thing is her debut record, The Lemonade Stand, turned 1 year old. And you know what? I think it still stands the test of time. I think this record is as relevant today as it was 1 whole year ago. But seriously, Tennille Towns, I think, is an important artist in the country format. I think she's doing things her way. She's not, you know, following anything that's hip or trendy. She's doing things the Tennille way. And I'm so into it. I am such a Tennille fan. I love this conversation. I love getting to know her a little bit. I don't know what else I can say. You got to hear this. Hold on. Let's just, you got to hear this. Here we go. Tennille, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you, Zach?
I am doing well. By the way, I'm not joking. This is the earliest podcast I've ever recorded to date. And we kept throwing times, and I think your team kept saying earlier and earlier. And I would do this at any time with you, Tennille, but this is the earliest I think we've ever done it.
I feel honored to be setting the record for the earliest one. That's so cool.
And we're not even that early. It's a little pathetic. But are you a morning person? Because the team suggested like 8:30, and I think I would have done it, Tennille, but that's really early.
That's amazing. I am a morning person. I'm like one of those weirdo music people who actually enjoys the morning. I don't know. I feel like I'm in the routine of that right now. Like I like to get up and journal and go for a walk and take my dog for a walk and then get to kind of come back and start the day. So I've definitely got my like morning ritual and I love it. And then when I go on the road, it switches a little bit because you have to sleep at some point. So I definitely stay up later out on the road and then come back home and enjoy the mornings again.
Did you read The Artist's Way this year?
So I did earlier last year. Yes.
So do you do the morning pages when you journal, or is this like a totally different type of journaling?
It's kind of like that. It switches for me. I have like different journals. So I try to do like a weekly. Sometimes it's more than once a week, but like what's going on in my life, just so that I can like look back and remember someday. And then sometimes I'm journaling just to fill up a page with nothing important to just kind of get some creative juices going, which would be more like the morning pages.
That's what I do. Like I'm very into the morning pages. Although I'm slacking on them. Like I've got to get back to them.
They're really helpful. I do believe in them. There's something to that. I think sort of just like letting out whatever comes, and then it's like, oh, okay, I'm feeling that like more creative now. It's helpful.
I believe in them too, but I'm not, I don't know why I believe, like, I don't know why they work, but I really do believe in them. And I
I
think I have
love that.
great ideas. Like, great ideas will come to you as you're doing the morning
Yes,
pages, right?
I
It's
think
like a
so.
weird thing. Okay, we're in the Tenille Towns jam space right here. We've got a
Yeah.
purple curtain behind her, and we've got a Marshall head. This looks like a Marshall head on the floor here. Am I
Yes,
mistaken?
you
Or
are not mistaken.
do you play electric? Do you plug that in?
I do occasionally, honestly, not very often. I love this amp and I do play it every now and then, but I will almost always pick up an acoustic first.
That's your go-to. And okay, so I want to know, there's like, I feel like there's like these two guitars that I always see you play. One is this one behind you that has all these like signatures. Like, what is this guitar? How long have you had this?
So this is okay. So I had this thought where when we were making the record for the lemonade stand, I
Yeah.
wanted to make a time capsule guitar where all of the songs would have symbols and lyrics like represented on here. And then the dream is that every record I get to make will have its own guitar. So
I was gonna ask this.
I just started the new music, which is now has a new guitar with it. So
This is like Taylor Swift would reinvent herself every album. The brand Tenille is bringing in a new guitar. So this new guitar is a Martin guitar. What did you put that kind of sun rising design on it, or how is the, how you did
I
this?
did. Yeah, so I fell in love with this OM28 and I loved how it played. I play in this like weird tuning that's like dadgad down to C, and
What is it? Wait, dad gad down to C, is that because dad gad is kind of like double drop D, and then do you go a whole step down?
a whole step down because I like to sing in C, but I like how dadgad feels, so I just
Yeah.
kind of tried it out. But it's really asking a lot out of any guitar because that's like a low starting place.
You have to
So
set up a guitar kind of
kind of, and I
do
put
that.
like baritone strings on it so that it will try to stay in tune. This one is, it doesn't love to stay in tune as much, but this new Martin I have definitely feels like it's liking the tuning better. But anyways, I wanted to make the inverse of this first guitar, so I wanted a guitar that had a dark top. So I got the OM28 that I love how it played, and then I had somebody stain the top for me and refinish it into that darker color. And then I got some paint pens and decided I was gonna paint it. This guitar my friend painted. He's an amazing muralist from back in Alberta where I'm from. And this guitar, I was like, I can't fly. We couldn't meet up with COVID travel things. And I was like, okay, what kind of paint pens did you use? I'm gonna try this. And I put the sunrise on the new guitar. So the sunrise, it feels like the sort of opening thematic statement that I wanted this new horizon of music to be represented with. And I think a lot of these songs seem to be, the new songs are tied together with this thread of kind of around that Leonard Cohen quote about how there's the cracks in everything. I think these songs are a little bit more reflective of that and how the light still gets through. So the sunrise felt like the right place to start.
Did you struggle to kind of figure out what your guitar playing setup was going to be like? Was this a process? Like, did you start with dad gad and then did you go, wait a second, let's drop this a whole step, or vice versa, or like were you playing in standard forever, or have you always been kind of using funky tunings and going a little outside the box with it?
I definitely started with standard tunings, and then when I first moved to Nashville, my dad and I made the road trip. It was like a 45-hour trek from my hometown to
Yeah.
Nashville. So we pull into town, and we flukily got two tickets to the Bluebird, and I saw this round that Laurie McKenna was in, and I've been a huge fan of her songs, but I'd never seen her play. And she was playing, and I mean, I love going to shows at the Bluebird because you can actually like see, they're sitting like literally our table is here and she's
Yeah.
sitting there playing guitar. And so I'm watching and I was like, what are these chords she's playing? Like I had never really seen somebody play in an open tuning before, and it was blowing my mind of how cool it sounded. And so then I came home and just, geeked out for hours trying to figure it out. And I loved the shapes I started kind of learning for dadgad, and then a lot of the songs that I started writing, it just was a little high in D. So I was like, how can I make this work? So I just tuned it down and it seemed to kind of work. So that was the exploring process, I suppose. But I don't really love showing up places at this point with two guitars. Like, it feels like, oh, I'm going to go play like a few songs at this show, or I'm going to like, it's so much more complicated to without guitar techs and all the fancy things to go, I'm going to switch from standard to this one on this one. So now I've just figured out, for the most part, most songs I can play in this tuning. I just stick with it.
We've got to get the bus before we get the guitar tech, right?
That's right.
A big goal. But the guitar tech's coming, and then we're going to have guitars for each. And then eventually we're going to need every guitar for each song on the record.
Then I'm going to mess with unendless tunings, and I'm just going to have a guitar for every song. It's going to be
great. Do you ever go like open G, or like, do you ever play with like a Keith Richards tuning or anything, or no?
I haven't messed with that yet. I think because then what am I going to do? I'm going to have to bring three guitars, because I already have like two songs that I have to play in standard. It just doesn't sound the same.
Which two are in standard?
When I Meet My Maker and I Kept the Roses are both ones I play in standard. They're the only two on the record. So,
but do you go, not that anyone cares, but I'm curious, do you go up a whole step in standard, or you're always down a whole step? You just raise the Ds to E's?
Regular standard. I'm not a half step down, so that's why it's really got to be two guitars.
It's really hard. Yeah, you need two
it's
guitars.
It's really hard. Yeah,
it's not. Look, I feel your pain. So okay, wait. So I love the song on the Lemonade Stand, Holding Out for the One.
Thank you. That's so cool.
I love this song, and maybe I'm like overthinking this production, but I love in the intro how there's like these like panning like things. And then there's like a squeal of a harmonica, and then there's like a lip smack or something. Like, there's all these little things in this. Who was like, how does this come together? Did you think about this when you were writing it? Maybe like I'm the only one in the world who thinks this is like the coolest intro to a record ever. But like, did you labor over this? Like, does Jay Joyce come up with this? Like, who's doing this?
I love that you love it. This is making me so happy. Thank you for noticing all these details. Yes. So, okay, let's see. I wrote this song with Daniel Tashin and Mark Beeson, and I knew that I wanted it to have like a funky, anthemic vibe. And I wanted the very first thing on the song to just be those, like singing those notes, holding out for the one, and like establishing that part right from the get-go. But beyond that, everything in the intro was Jay just wandering around the studio going, we need this sound here, and we're gonna put this funky guitar. Like, he literally is sitting there with this acoustic going, no, I have to mess it up more. Like, he just was like an absolute incredible mad scientist going, this needs to feel clumsy in the best ways, which I just loved. It turned out so cool. So this was one of the very first songs we started working on in the process of making the record. And we started like the day before Halloween, and then it was Halloween, and Jay showed up in this gorilla costume, like head to toe, walks in the studio, picks up an acoustic guitar like it's no big deal, and just starts playing the intro of Holding Out for the One. And I was just dying laughing. It was so great.
In the gorilla costume.
Yeah, he threw the glove off so he could use his hand, but literally the rest, he's just sitting in the chair in this big gorilla costume.
And who plays the harmonica? Is that you?
No, that is not me. That's Jay. Honestly, I don't know that it was a harmonica. If it was a harmonica, it was something that Jay did secretively later, because I didn't witness the harmonica happening.
If there's one harmonica, like, there's like one.
I think it's either slide affected, or it's something with the keys, but I don't think it's a harmonica.
I'm going to listen back to this very
closely. I could
closely.
Be wrong. It could have, he could have snuck it in, but I'm pretty sure I did not.
You would know. There's no way.
I would know. Yeah. I don't think it's a harmonica. I think it's a keys thing, actually.
I'm devastated.
I'm sorry about your luck.
I still love it though, but I'm devastated. Okay, wait. And then you've written 150 songs over the past year in the pandemic. This is what your publicist sent me with international writers, is what she said.
Yes.
Do you like writing with people around the world. I feel like
yeah,
people in Nashville don't really do that as often as maybe they do in other places. Maybe I'm wrong though. I don't know. But that's kind of unique, isn't it?
That's a good question. I guess it is a little. I think I just love riding with anybody. And I'm so thankful to have had writing to turn to in this time because I literally think I'd have gone insane. So it really helped to be able to just disappear into a song. And before the pandemic happened, there was conversations of going, oh, maybe let's take an adventure to LA and write, or the next time that you're in the UK, maybe we can set up some things. But those things would have been so squished into tour dates, or I would never have had the amount of time to like write 10 songs with a friend in Wales. Like it just wouldn't have happened. So it was really cool to, that was like a silver lining. It's definitely not the same as writing in person on a computer screen. There are some things that drive me crazy about it and that feel so much harder. But it's not impossible. And I'm just grateful, like mental health wise, more than anything, it was the best to be able to really focus on what I want to say for this next chapter of music with people that some of them I still haven't met in person. I just took a trip to LA and got to meet a couple of friends that we've probably written 15 or 20 songs between the three of us. And it feels like I've known them my whole life. And we literally, yeah, we joked to like, we're like, I don't even know how tall you are. Like, I don't know that information. So it was really fun to be able to be like, hello, I'm seeing you in the flesh. It was awesome.
Do you like going to LA? Do you like LA?
I like visiting LA. I don't think I could ever plant my roots there. No, I love Nashville too much for that.
I agree. Although breaking news, Tennille Towns does not like LA. No, I'm kidding.
Palm trees are my favorite. I love a good palm tree.
Really? Why do you love palm tree? Because I feel like you've never lived around palm trees.
No, I haven't. They just seem like this magical thing that represents great weather and sunshine, which I love.
That's true.
So it's like, okay, I mean, I like anywhere with palm trees.
I like this. Okay, wait. So then did you write Girl Who Didn't Care over Zoom?
I did, yes. So I wrote that song with David Pramick and my friend Steph Jones. And at the time that we wrote the song, none of us had met in person yet. And we opened up this was the second song that we had written, the three of us together. And I had been walking around my neighborhood and noticing like kids playing in their backyards, hearing them laughing, and like watching all the sidewalk chalk art like evolve through the pandemic. And something about that just made me think about what it felt like to have that kind of courage. And David had this musical thing started, and I think Steph threw out the line of a girl who didn't care, and I was like, this is amazing, I love this. So we wrote it in like an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe. And David graciously walked me through how to send him vocal passes through the distance, which is a new skill that I've learned this year, and sent it all to him. And all of a sudden we had the song. I feel like this year has definitely made me go, oh wow, like the song will find a way. It will figure out its way into the world, whatever the circumstances
the
might
song
be.
Is good. So wait, so is the vocal on the track what you did yourself, or did you get back into the studio again?
No, it's what I did myself. So I did right here, sitting at this table over by the window. That's where it was done.
Holy cow. And then when you write, did you have that guitar riff in the room, or did that get added later as you were producing the song out?
That was in the room. Yeah. David had been, he was playing that on his Zoom screen, was like, I have this guitar thing I've been messing with. I was like, that sounds so cool. And so we definitely had that as a beginning element to write with.
And then are you going to have to learn that to play it live? Or you probably already have, but are you?
That's
kind of like a quirky thing, isn't it? Isn't it kind of like a...
It would be weird without that in the song. So I've figured out how to play it in my weird tuning, and it works. And I'm like, thank goodness, moving on.
Thank goodness. Girl Who Didn't Care. But I feel like this song, because I know you always have that story that you tell about jumping on stage with Shania at 9 years old and being the girl who didn't care at nine. Cause I've heard you say that you don't think you could do that today. There was something about being 9 years old and just not having a care in the world, not even knowing that you should be freaking out on stage with Shania Twain at 9 years old. Like, to me, I kind of see that in the song. Like, I almost feel like this song is a little bit about that, right?
That's so cool. I love that you made that connection, cause it is. It's like, there's such a sweet spot for everybody, it's maybe a slightly different age, but it's like where you really just, you have zero fear because you don't know the consequence of failing or of stumbling or of worrying about what everybody says when you do. It's like, you just don't, it doesn't cross your mind. So you can do anything in the whole world. And I mean, it's exactly that. She pulled me up randomly at this show in Edmonton. And
you were dressed like her.
Yes, I had a costume that looked like her Miami concert DVD that I'd watched 5 million times. Yeah. And I had a sign that I made with glitter and Sharpies. And it said, Shania, can I please sing with you? And she flukily picked me out of like this 18,000 person crowd and brought me up on stage. And I was like, this is it. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Like, there was just no questions about it. And everything about it was like, this is so cool. I have dreamed what this could feel like and look like. And even before walking into the concert, like I told my mom, I was like, I'm going to sing with Shania tonight. And she's
yeah,
like,
I've heard you say that. That's kind of crazy. Right? You knew that.
I knew. And I just love that part of the younger versions of ourselves who just have zero issues with believing in anything. And I think that's so beautiful. So that definitely, you know, thinking about that 9-year-old kid was very much a part of the fabric of this song for sure.
And then I love that story too, that you have photos of this, because didn't someone that you didn't know take the photos with like a Polaroid camera or something?
It was a disposable. Yes.
And yeah. Then what, they mailed you the photos or what happened?
They literally did. So it was a whole crazy story. Like, we got to the floor and our tickets were like, I think whatever they were, 16 and 17 or something, but they were across the circle. It was like a circle stage in the middle. And so yeah. My mom and I were supposed to be next to each other, and we get there and we realize that the tickets were not together. And we're freaking out because my mom's like, you're 9. I'm not leaving you on the other side of the arena by yourself. So we squished on one chair and crossed our fingers that we wouldn't get in trouble. And the two sweet ladies beside us kind of were like, when they came to sit down, they were like, oh, no problem. And they were so friendly, and we were talking before the show started, and they're so sweet. And then when I got pulled up on stage, the fiddle player came around to where my mom was and was like, where's your camera? And you weren't allowed to bring cameras to concerts then. It was like, you checked them at the door.
Is that true? I feel like I've always been bringing cameras to concerts.
I don't know. It was like, it was a rule. It was like, we brought it, and then they were like, sorry, you have to check it. And so you had to get it on your way back out.
And these ladies snuck in.
These snuck in a disposable in their purse, and they were like, we're her auntie. And my mom's like, yeah. They definitely, we had just met before the show, but they gave their camera, and we got a whole camera roll of it. And I think they were from Alaska maybe. And they literally flew, they mailed us the whole negative film roll of it. So it was so cool.
Holy crap, that is very cool. Yeah. And I feel like you're actually very confident on stage, and you kind of let loose, you wear your guitar very low. This is very cool, right? Is that you know, do you mean to do that, to wear the guitar very low? Is that a purposeful thing?
It didn't start out that way. I just thought that's how it was supposed to go. Like, that's what feels the most like you're rocking out to me.
So I agree.
I don't know what happened. To be honest, I think it might have been a happy accident that the guitar strap just was that length. And when I put it on, that's where it sat. And I was like, yeah, this feels good. And then it just stayed there. So.
Why is it that the lower the guitar is, the cooler you are?
It feels cool, right? I agree.
Yeah. And you look very cool. And then I like when you like throw it behind your back. And then it's just like there. And then it's just like low and hanging. You couldn't do that if the strap was high.
You couldn't.
It wouldn't look cool and it wouldn't work.
I think this is true. Yep.
This is true.
It also,
okay. Yeah.
It goes with the tuning too, because I'm not playing crazy standard things where I would maybe need the guitar higher. You know, it helps that I'm just strumming, you know?
You're kind of strumming. But this is also like very like Keith Richards also. Like he has his guitar so low and he just wails it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even matter. And your shapes are like, matter. Like when I've seen you play in like a video or whatever, it is kind of fun to see your hands move, because
it's not doing a lot. It is weird looking. It's like fingers.
I'm like, I think that's a G, but I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
It looks a little different, but I like it. So wait, so going back for a minute. So you have, are you, you're the oldest, right? Like you have a younger brother.
I do. Yeah.
Does your younger brother like think you're really cool, or is he like totally?
That's a good question. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, but, he's a funny kid. He was always into sports growing up, and we just always had like very different things that we got to cheer each other on for. So I think he thinks it's cool. I'd hope.
Yeah, you're like famous. You're like, you know.
I mean,
like,
I don't know about that, but
would he yell at you to like stop? Like, I have older siblings, and they would always yell at me to stop playing music when I was younger. Like, if they were studying or something, like, would he yell, like, Tennille, like, stop singing? Like, I'm trying to study here. It's like.
Yeah, I'm poor kid. He was 5 years younger than me, so he definitely got drug around to all the different things I was singing at, or rodeos, or talent show, whatever. And he's like, yeah, here we go again, you know.
Yeah. Wait, and then why did you, I've kind of heard you talk about this, but to me, I think it's interesting how like not being so far away from Nashville, but just wanting to move here. You came here when you were like 13 or 14 for the first time, right? And you just like, you just felt like, why come to Nashville versus like any, like, you know, where do you go to do music in Canada? Not Montreal, right? Or where do people go?
I mean, any of the big cities.
Any of the big cities.
Lots of things in Edmonton or Calgary or Toronto or Vancouver. But, and I did, I was really grateful I got to begin things learning from the industry at home and kind of get my toes in the water and feel what it's like to put out a few songs and write with so many friends up at home. But Nashville was just kind of always at the heart of the goal, because I grew up like a lyric book, you know, junkie following along in the backseat, and was reading that all the studios were in Nashville, and the, you know, looking at the different co-writers and going, oh, there's like this whole community there that makes up songs, and I want to go there. So that was always kind of part of the dream.
And then did any of your friends go into music? Are you the only one who you grew up with who went into music? Like, do you have any other friends from school?
Not from school necessarily, no. There was like a small handful of 5 or 6 of us that showed up for choir at one point. Like, it was not a big thing in my school.
So when you go back home, I know like everyone flew down here to see you play the Opry, like 140 people. But like when you go back home, do you kind of feel like you're the cool one? Like, I would feel like the cool one. Like, you left to become like a musician, a rock star, and you're like kind of doing it. Like, I would feel kind of boss going back home and seeing everyone.
I don't know. I don't really think about it. I love getting to go home and see my friends, my family. And I don't know. That doesn't, it's like anything with that just makes me feel weird. Like, I'm just like, I love to make up songs and sing them for people. And but I'm super grateful that my community's been really supportive of this. They've always been believing in it with me. So it's fun to go home and get to see everybody cheering along for sure.
They all got on a plane, and then those hometown shows have got to be insane, right? How many hometown shows have you played?
Well, actually, we haven't played like a full out hometown show in a while. But I do an event called Big Hearts for Big Kids in my hometown.
I want to talk about this.
Yeah, so this is like a concert fundraiser we started 11 plus years ago, and that's been the event that I always go home for, and that everybody shows up for in the most remarkable way to support our youth shelter in my hometown. So that's been really amazing.
Wait, so you started this when you were like 15, and there was a youth shelter that was closing, and you were like, I want to save this youth shelter. Which is kind of mind-blowing to me, because I feel like I would never have done that at 15. I would not have had any motivation to do that at all. I probably wouldn't even know like what a youth shelter was, or I wouldn't even if I knew about it, I don't think I would have known how to help it. But you put this whole thing together, very ambitious. Like, how does this first one come together?
So at first the shelter wasn't closing, and it wasn't this whole saving thing. It just was that they needed some funding. Like, they were a little bit running a little short. And so I heard about this youth shelter. There was a pamphlet on our kitchen counter. My mom had gone to some ladies' event and had brought this home that talked about what the Sunrise House was, and, you know, that it was ages 11 to 17 of kids in my hometown who were sleeping in shelter beds every night. And the numbers of how many bed nights they were counting of kids checking in, like reading that on this pamphlet was mind-blowing. It was like, I thought this is the kind of thing that happened like across the world. I had no idea that there was something like this in my own hometown. So it was really crazy to learn about. And then it was like, well, let's throw a little concert. What can we do? You know, music is the thing. So I typed up a sponsor letter and my mom drove me around after school, and I'd ask people if they wanted to get a table or some tickets or a silent auction item.
Like, were you just going down like Main Street, popping into shops and like,
yeah, Main Street, definitely. And we went to like different like fuel stations, and we went to the industrial area and talked to these different like machinery companies and all kinds of different things. My hometown has very much like an entrepreneurial spirit. So a lot of these places are mom and pop shops that they have a lot of control over where their charitable funds every year are going. So it really blew my mind how many people said yes. They were like, sure, we'll come. Like, this sounds fun. And then we rented a hall and like started decorating it a couple of days before. And I had some of my music friends were going to come and play some songs in around. And the night of our first event, the shelter had to close their doors due to lack of funding. It was like, well, this timing is crazy, because let's really do something about this tonight. And that evening I watched everybody come together, throwing their hands up for auction items. And, you know, we talked about what the shelter was, and so many people hadn't really even heard of it in our hometown. And that night we raised $30,000, and it was like, whoa, if this is what music can do, then I'm in. So it's grown every year since that point, and we've helped the shelter get back up and running, and at this point are a big part of the operational budget fundraising every year. So it's pretty amazing to see that my community's taking such an ownership of wrapping their arms around these kids and being a part of changing the trajectory of their path, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, you've raised, I think, like $2 million to yes. date, yeah. right? Which is crazy. And do you look back and like when you're playing at 15, like I just picture Tenille like always being really good at music. Like, were you really good at 15, or do you look back and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that was what I was singing at 15?
I think it's a combination of those things. I definitely look back and go, whew, those were some of the very first songs, weren't they? You know, it's like, that was not amazing. But everybody starts somewhere, and I do look back at it and go, well, I'm so glad that I decided to pick it up at that spot in my life, for sure. And more than anything, I just always had so much fun with it. Like, I look back and be like, wow, I was like having the time of my life playing music, which I still am.
Like, if you grow up in a community that like encourages you to play music or get out, even if you're young and even if you're not great, but if people show up to a gig yeah. or whatever, you play in your hometown, like that's where you get your first, you know, the first start of your 10,000 hours, right? Like,
absolutely. Yeah. And that belief, like just going, okay, I can do this. Like I'm hungry to learn and get better. And I want to keep showing up because this experience was fun. So I do think that encouragement is a really incredible thing.
Yeah. What guitar were you playing then?
I was playing Attack Me. I had, that I got at the GP music store. I want to say my grandparents bought me my first guitar before that. That was a smaller, like a parlor guitar. And, but it didn't have a pickup. So then I got this other one that was a little bit bigger and had a pickup in it.
In standard tuning.
We had not
ventured off into the dad gad. Okay. Wait. So now you're getting ready to go on tour with Brothers Osborne.
Yes.
Starting at the end of July, I believe, the Not That's For correct. Everyone tour, which I'm very excited about. Wait, and have we gotten the bus yet? Can we say, or not so, yet?
Not yet. We've graduated from the Sprinter van. And for this tour, we are taking out this thing called a bandwagon. That's kind of like, almost like a sort of like a semi truck. And then the box yeah. of it has the bunks in it, and we're pulling a trailer. So it's a lot bigger than the van, and it feels like way closer to a bus, which is really exciting.
This is like a tease. Like, who yes. does this? Who goes this middle route? Is this common? This feels like they're just teasing you.
It does a little. I don't know if it's common. I got so excited when we found it, because it makes a lot of sense for where we're at right now. And I'm so thankful for this tour. I'm like the biggest fan of Brothers Osborne music. Like, I just love what their songs say and how they sound. And more than that, I just think like they're the coolest human beings, and they've been so kind to me. But I'm so grateful we have a long string of dates, because it makes it affordable for us to be able to have this thing for a couple of months, which is why we don't have to be in a van. So I'm really thankful for that.
This in between. Wait, so are you prepping for this set right now, or when do you start like rehearsing and figuring out where it's already happening?
It's happening. Yeah, we're going back and forth on set list things now, and we have a couple rehearsals next week, and then we head out at the end of the month.
What, like, how are you putting this set list together? You like, we need to come in rocking, and then we need to, I need my moment with the acoustic and the audience that's really intimate, and then we got to do this ballad. Like, are you thinking about all this? Like, what's the perfect set list structure here?
Yes, I love thinking about it, because it's so fun to get to envision a show and kind of imagine. Like, I'm so excited to really find out what a Brothers Osborne crowd is all about, because I just think that they're gonna all love music. So it's kind of going, okay, how do we make sure everybody has a great time during the 30 minutes that we're gonna be playing? And I do like to think of it like a ride, where exactly that, start off with some energy and bring everybody through the songs till we close the circle at the end. So I'm excited to keep. I also just love to keep trying and trying things as we go. It's like, okay, this worked, and let's try this, and what about this cover, or what if we change this order around? Like, I don't ever really want to lock in. I think this opportunity to be in this spot of the opening act situation is, it sounds kind of fun to go, okay, how can we just keep learning and growing in this time as much as we possibly can to build up our set for someday when it's our turn.
Yeah. Are you going to be changing the set list like every night, or are you going to be locked in to a set list?
I don't know if it'll be every night, but I do think that it's got room. It's a living, breathing thing. Yeah.
It gets kind of boring otherwise, right? You've got to switch it up. You've got to play different songs, different places. You've got to try different things, right? This is very exciting. And this is like this is a ton of dates. This is the entire summer, right? This is into
October, November, which is really cool. So we'll be rocking for a few months with these guys. I can't wait.
Do you like that? Like, that's your life now, like the next till October. You know what you're gonna be doing, right?
I've missed it so much. I'm so grateful we had the opportunity to be a part of some really cool tours, you know, before the pandemic for a few years, and I got into that routine. You know, that became what home felt like, and it was such an abrupt change to completely be back at home. And honestly, I don't really love being at home for a lot of reasons. I've gotten a lot better in this past year of what it means to be still, and I'm still working on that, and I'm grateful that it feels better, but I'm ready to go. I'm excited.
What do you do when you're at home? Like, do you go out ever in Nashville? Do you go out to bars or anything, or you're like, are you kind of a homebody? Like, what do you do if you have time at home?
I'm more of a homebody for sure. I love to spend time with my Nashville family of sorts, and I love to just get to work on music. I do a lot of writing when I'm home, and I love to read and sit outside. And I got a puppy this year, so that's been something that's kind of pulling me outside some more, which is great. But I just when I'm home, I kind of like to be home.
What do you like to read?
All kinds of things. I kind of switch it up between, I love reading different like music biography books or ones that.
Me too. Like, which ones do you like?
Oh, I read the Alicia Keys one not long ago, which I loved. I very much, it's like, it's called More Myself. She's amazing. And it was cool to get to hear her story. I just read The Green Light. Matthew McConaughey, which isn't music, but also was really inspiring.
Everyone's reading this. By the way, I was just talking with, was it Alex Hall, who I know you're friends with?
Yeah.
Read it also, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, funny. I don't know.
I might be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure he said he read it.
That's pretty cool. Sure it was him.
But everyone was reading that, I feel like. And his,
I think so.
And his like relationship with his parents that he talks about in that book, like, it's
fascinating.
Wild.
It is wild.
Fascinating. Wow.
Loved it.
I liked it too, actually. I thought it was really good. And what kind of puppy did you get?
He is some kind of terrier mix. I'm not really sure.
Where'd you find him?
All. on Petfinder. I took a trip up to Chester, Illinois, and picked him up from the shelter up there. And I was just looking for somebody that would, something that would be nice and small that I could hopefully bring with me on the road at some point. And he's so great. He's full energy, loves chasing squirrels and pull, you know, it's quite an adventure, but I love having him.
So is he going to come on the road?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I'm scared he's going to run. He's literally such a, we're still working on some things. He's just, he's not even, he's like a year. He's just over a year. So I feel like he needs a little bit more time before I can trust him to really stick around the bandwagon.
He's not going to be able to handle the other dog groupies and the, you know, the
he's
going to
be too excited, too excited. So yeah.
Too excited on the road. And then I want to also, like, where do you find your cookie recipes? Because I know you like to bake a lot of cookies, right? Do you have a go-to recipe or, like, what do you do?
Okay, a couple of things. I am not an expert baker. I just love to bake because it's fun. So I'm all for the box baking kits that are ready to go. Like, there's a really good.
That's what you do? You do the box baking kits. Okay.
Sometimes.
Like, tell me the so box. Yeah, yeah.
Also, I like to make a gluten-free, like, chocolate.
Are you gluten-free?
For the most part, yeah. And there is a great one that is so much better than anything I've tried to make up myself. So I'm like, well, this works. So why don't we just do this? But
what
also
is it King Arthur or what's the
Betty Crocker?
It's the Betty Crocker gluten-free cookie
chocolate
recipe.
Chocolate chip
gluten-free cookie recipe.
To die for. It's so good. And then there is one, a sugar cookie that's not gluten-free this is what I usually make at Christmas time to give out to friends and stuff. But one of my friends back at home, her name's Lindsay, she's like an amazing baker, and she was working at the local bakery in our hometown when we were doing the Bake Hearts events. And so we would go after school and I'd get to help her, and we'd bake like 500 cookies to put with a raffle ticket. And so every person who bought a raffle ticket for a chance to win this whatever necklace would get a cookie. And these cookies are so, so good. It's like, it's the icing, I think, that's really where it's at. But they're amazing. People will come to the event and be like, where are the cookies? Like, that's what they're showing up for in a large part. So those ones are more of a handmade recipe. But
do you love cookies or do you like baking cookies? Like, where, like, I've got a couple spots in Nashville that I think have incredible cookies. Like, do you have a great cookie spot?
I really just kind of like making them. That's the thing.
You like making them more than like eating them. Now, I mean, yeah. you like eating them, but like it's the process of like, and did you have one of those like scoopers that you squeeze?
Yeah,
in the fingers?
No, I don't. Although that would be fun. I just kind of make them with my hands, you know,
very hands on. And then I'm also curious along the lines, I know you have this saying with your dad that's like a good day for ice cream. Like if something good happens.
Yeah.
Where do you get ice cream in Nashville? Are you like Jenny's?
Jenny's would be my very favorite pick for ice cream here in Nashville. Definitely. It's so good.
Can we get Tennille Towns flavor? Kind of like.
Oh, man. I know, right? Wasn't that so cool?
What would the flavor be? Like what would be in the Tennille Towns flavor? I'm trying to think of a rhyme or a pun or something. What would it be called?
That's a good question. I've never thought about this. I'm not sure. It would be something with cookies and cream, though.
It would probably just be cookies and cream.
It would have to be some variation of that. Yeah.
I'm going to think of a great name for this the second we hang up of what it
I can't
be,
wait.
What it could be called. Tennille something. What if
Please
we
let me know.
I will let you know. And then I think we should have your team pitch it. Come on. We got to put them to work.
I can't wait. Yeah, let's do it.
What have we left out here? What have we not said? We're going on the road with Brothers Osborne. Girl Who Didn't Care is out now. When's more new music coming out?
Coming soon. I'm excited. I've got a bunch of new songs that we're working on different pieces of and bringing them all together. So hopefully in a few months, we'll definitely be having some more things out there.
Okay. I'm very excited for this new music. I love like Tennille Towns music when it comes out. Like I remember when Girl Who Didn't Care came out, this is like a couple weeks ago. And I think it was on like New Music Friday. I was like going through New Music Friday. And then I think I like replayed that song like five times. I swear.
Thank you. That
I was just
so
into it. I'm such a fan. I just keep like, again, your music, like I still listen to Holding Out for the One. Like I was listening to it last night because I knew we'd be talking and I'll still put up I just vibe with it. I'm just
that makes me so happy. Thank you for saying that.
What did you did that song like? What inspired that song? I'm curious. Like, what did you write that about?
Holding out for the one.
Yeah. Was there like a big like moment or a big thing? Like, did someone piss you off and you were like, "Screw this, I'm holding out for the one." Like, what? Like, what's the story there?
I don't think it was a specific moment. It's kind of just the overall vibe of the expectations of society of like being like, you should date or find your person soon. And like, what's going on? And like those kind of things that I think were just like boiling of going like, no, I'm going to write a song about this. And also my co-writer, Daniel Tashin, has three adorable daughters who are like little and looking at the world all full of wonder. And it's like, what kind of thing could we tell them that's a little different than maybe what a society would paint the picture for? So that was fun to think about writing this song.
And maybe a metaphor for life that you shouldn't settle or compromise on anything.
Good call. I like that a lot.
You should wait for the one is what I think. I think that you take music like very, this is going to sound maybe a little weird, but I think you take it very seriously compared to me, but like in a good way, like you're not in it for the fame really. You're in it for the music. I mean, I think you're probably in it for the fame, but you're like, the music is first, right? Like,
yes, absolutely. And I do take it serious because this is the thing I've always dreamed about. And I really do love music so much. I love getting to meet people after shows and hearing stories about what these songs might mean to them. And thinking about that is always at the center of the mission to me. It's like, if music is this thing that makes us not feel quite as alone, that's like the best part to me. And all the things that connect to that are what are driving me for sure.
Yeah. Do you get like annoyed if you see another artist who like doesn't take it as seriously or goofs around or whatever? You're like, come on, guys, let's take this seriously here.
Oh man.
Or most people you hang around, do they take it pretty seriously? I'd probably imagine.
I think the community that I get to be around I have lots of friends who very much just care so much about it. And like, and thinking about the history of music in general is so fascinating to me, and thinking the stuff that we're working on now is potentially a fabric and a part of like putting bricks on that road. And it's, you know, that is, it's such an honor. Like, I definitely consider that something really important to like want to steward it well, you know. So yeah. And I think the people that I'm around feel the same way, which I'm really grateful for.
Like, you are in the history books for sure. Like, I think there's certain things. No. Like, if you play the Opry, if you sign with a major national label, if you get a song on radio, like there's certain, if you tour with the, like, you're like, you will always have some presence in the country in the national history books, right?
That's so cool. I love
like,
that.
You're always, and now you've got to think like, what is the presence I want to leave? Like, what do I want to write? What do I want to put out? What guitars do I want to play?
Yeah, all the
you know, because they're going to be in the Country Music Hall of Fame one day. So it's a lot of pressure. I couldn't do it. Girl Who Didn't Care. Out now. Hey, I want to ask you also, how did this Alex Hall song come together? Heart Shut, which was very cool. He put out this record with duets on every song on the record was a duet.
Yep.
And you were the only one. Well, no, Cassie Ash was on the record. But I think it was cool that he brought you on with all these like guitar legends. And I think he probably thought that you were kind of like a guitar, like you take guitar very seriously. Like, I think he probably looked at you and was like, Tennille is a guitar peer. She's got to be on this record. Right.
Well, that is so cool. And I'm such a fan of him and his music. And that whole EP was such a cool project.
Yeah.
I'm like, just in a fan of guitar players in general, and I mean I love to play, so it was such an honor to get to be a part of that in that way. And this was the first song we ever wrote together, and we've written a bunch of songs at this point, but it was cool to go, okay, let's write for your project. And then we ended up writing this duet, and it was so fun to sing together. It's like, well, let's just do this one. So
play with him like as a guitar player, and like,
it's so fun. He's so good. And I love singing with him. Like, it's been really fun the handful of times we've gotten to be at the same show and got to to sing it together. So I look forward to doing much more of that. I'm a big fan of his and definitely cheering on his path.
Do you practice guitar? Like, will you listen to, like, I want to know when you break out the Marshall, like what, when does the Marshall, do you have an electric? Like what's the electric that you're plugging into?
I have a Telecaster though. I play
the guitar of country music.
The guitar of country music. Yeah. But I don't have a lot of like electric pedals or bells and whistles and things. I'm definitely not an electric player. I play electric in the same open tuning and like an acoustic. I'm like, how's this? Does this work? This is what I know how to do.
I would just play Cashmere all day. Is that yeah. what you?
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm going to bust into that this afternoon.
The most famous song in Dadgad tuning. That's what that's why I'd be playing all day on the telly.
It's amazing.
Is what Jimmy recorded it on.
Why not?
Tenille, what a pleasure. Thanks for taking the time.
Such a joy. Thank you for taking the time. It's so cool to get to chat with you. Appreciate you having me be a part of this.
Absolutely. Tenille is coming to a city near you with the Brothers Osborne tour. You've got to check the dates. Not for everyone. Tenille might be for everyone, though. I'm not sure, but she might be. Girl Who Didn't Care, you have to stream this. Everybody's got to listen to this. This guitar riff is going to, you're not going to get to the vocal because you're just going to keep repeating the guitar riff.
I love it.
But
so
then you're going to get to the vocal. And I also like the song because I kind of had to listen to the song like a couple times to really get what it was and to like pick up on every line. Maybe it's just me. I'm just not that bright. But I had to listen to this song like two or three times to sort of pick up every little detail in the lyric. So that's
that
everyone has to go listen to this song. And then you've got to look out because she's got new music coming soon. And she's not telling us when. Nobody knows.
Coming soon, I promise.
But it's coming soon. Do you know when it's coming or do you have no clue?
I do know when it's coming to a certain degree. But again, so much of it is like, it lives and breathes too. It kind of depends on what goes on with Girl Who Didn't Care. And like, it's a little flexible, but for the most part, it's like got the long timeline vision board up going. This is what we're doing. So I'm excited.
You're very into the vision boards.
Yeah.
They're all over the place. What are you doing later today? Are you writing later today?
I am not writing today. I'm meeting a friend for lunch today. And then I get to go play the Opry tonight. I'm so excited.
That's right. You're actually playing the Opry. Do you get stressed about that? Or you're like, whatever, I'll roll up. I've got my dressing room.
It's getting easier at this point. I think I've played the Opry 8 times, but honestly, it does stress me out because it's like, this is a legendary place. Like it still gives me goosebumps every time I walk through the artist door. I'm like, I am awake right now. I am awake. This is real. So I do get nervous. Yeah.
Do you have a team that helps you figure out what you're going to wear, or do you figure out yourself what you're going to wear?
I do have a team that helps me figure out what I'm going to wear. I am not a clothes, like that is not really my thing so much. I love to feel confident in what I'm wearing. So I definitely am like, ooh, I like this, or no, I don't like this, but I'm not really creative in that avenue very much. So I'm grateful for a fairy godmother stylist, and I'll be texting pictures to my manager like, is this the right thing to wear for this? Is this right? So I'm glad for that.
That's why you need a great team. Teamwork, dream work.
Teamwork is the dream work, yes.
Beautiful thing. I wish I was going to be at the Opry tonight, but I'm not.
I hope we get to cross paths at a show soon.
Absolutely, Tenille. Thank you. I'm going to be at the show. You're playing the Basement East next week.
Oh, sweet.
Right?
Yes, Tuesday Night Music Club. That's going to be fun.
I was just talking with Katie. I'm going to go.
Love it.
We'll see you there.
The best. Yes, I look forward to seeing you there.
You might not come out
there
and like, you know, mingle with anyone, which I would.
Oh, whatever.
I would not talk with anyone, but looking forward to it. Thanks for taking the time. Crush the Opry tonight.
Thanks, Zach. Have a great rest of your day. Good to see you.
Tenille Towns, one of a kind, a unique talent in the best way. I'm such a Tenille fan. I can't say this enough. Girl Who Didn't Care. This song is out now. And if you're not listening to this the second this thing ends, I'm sorry. I feel for you. Brothers Osborne, she's going out with Brothers Osborne. We're Not For Everyone tour. Tickets on sale now. Brothers Osborne, Tenille Towns. Great combo. And the Lemonade Stand. A year old. If you haven't listened, now's your chance. Listen to it now. And yeah, that's it. man, such a Tennille fan. I can't wait to see where the music goes, where the career goes. I just think she's kind of like, I don't know. I just think she's just getting started. I think the music's gonna get wild. Is what I think. You're already seeing a lot of creativity, a lot of originality. I think it's gonna explode. Okay, the Zach Kuhn Show is mixed by Sam Heyman, and our theme music is by Justin Johnson. If you want more content from us, you can subscribe to our newsletter at NashvilleBriefing.com, or you can follow us on socials, everything at Nashville Briefing. Man, that's it. I got nothing else. Nothing else. Nope, nothing. Goodbye.